for the three main reasons. We got some people.
It's 4:30.
Yes, we'll call the meeting of, oh yes, we have the prayer first, right? Who's giving it today? Okay.
Yeah, that's your job.
If you'll rise and join us in the invocation, Jeff Roosh will provide it.
Father in heaven, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity that we have to stand before thee. We thank thee, Father, for all thy many bounteous blessings, especially for the rain that we have received last year and this year. We pray, Father, that we will continue to receive this wonderful moisture to quench the thirsty desert. We ask thee, Father, for thy guidance as we sift through the issues before the Water Master this evening, that the comments and the decisions that are made will be respectful of others' opinions, that we will be able to collectively come to the best decision to satisfy the needs of the judgment and satisfy the needs of the basin. We are so indeed grateful for the directors who sit at the dais and for the time that they have taken out of their lives to understand the issues and have this healthy discussion. We pray for those who are suffering throughout the world, whether it be due to war or hunger. We pray that thy guidance will help those hands who are in their areas to alleviate their suffering. Please bless the servicemen, the policemen, firemen, all the first responders, that they will be protected in their duties and be able to return to their homes with their families. These things, Father, we ask humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
At this time, if you'll join us all in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Director Hoffman, would you like to lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to again welcome everybody. Thanks for coming to the meeting today for the Water Master. Today, Director West is going to be a full-on board member, but she's remote. Are you there, Marina?
Good evening. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. So we have approval of the agenda. Oh, we need roll call first, right? Yeah.
Director Cox. Smith.
Here.
Director Limbaugh.
Here.
Director Page?
Here.
Director Ramirez?
Here.
Director Raleigh?
Here.
And Director West?
Present.
Do I have approval of the agenda tonight?
I'll move it.
Yep.
Second.
Roll call.
Director Cox?
Aye.
Director Hoffman?
Aye.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Ramirez? Director Raleigh?
Aye.
And Director West?
Yes.
That's good. March 27th, agenda packet. Do I have approval for the agenda packet?
That's part of the approval.
Oh, that's part of approval. Good, great. We did that. Okay. Public participation. Public comment period is limited to 5 minutes per person and not more than 15 minutes in total. Anyone wishing to address us on any matter pertaining to the Water Master business, listed on the agenda or not, may do so at this time. However, the Water Master may not take any action on items that are not on the agenda. Please submit a speaker guard if you haven't done so already, and we'll record it for the secretary prior to the start of the meeting. Do we have any people that want to speak at this particular time?
I have one letter to read, and then we have a speaker for item number 7.
Okay. So you want to read the letter now?
Yes. This is from Daggett Community Services District. Dear Water Master, my name is Menti Hazelet. I am a director on the Daggett Community Services District. I mailed you a letter of request for donated water a while back. The way we see it is this. We received 200 acre feet of permanent water a couple of years ago. It was donated to us so we wouldn't have to beg for water anymore. Out of that, we only got 50 acre feet. You took 150 acre feet. I also noticed on the pumped water chart for 2023 that the Water Master puts out, the MWA has over 1,200 acre feet of use or lose water available. The MWA could easily donate back to us the 71 acre feet of water we desperately need. Will you consider that? Thank you for your time. Menti Hazelet.
Other public comments? Moving right along to consent calendar. We have two items on this consent calendar. Adopt actions of the regular meeting February 28th and accept those.
I'll move the consent calendar as presented.
I'll second.
Roll call vote.
Director Cox?
Aye.
Director Hoffman?
Aye.
Director Limbaugh?
Aye.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Raleigh?
Aye.
And Director West?
Okay, it's time.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Marina. Time for our public hearing. I think it's our first public hearing, right? Public hearing to receive comments and adopt the proposed recommendation for free production allowance for water year 2024-25. We'll declare the public hearing open.
We have a presentation that we would like to give before the public hearing. It addresses some of the concerns that were received in the written communications. So if that be okay before we open the public hearing, like turn the time over to Mr. Wagner to go through that presentation.
Good afternoon.
We're pulling up the presentation.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Good. Thank you.
Bob, can you get closer to the microphone?
Yes. A little better. Okay, thank you for that. We're going to go through some of the material that we saw in February and also material that was presented at the workshops that were held March 13th and 14th. We received comment letters from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, from Mitsubishi, and also from Golden State Water Company. We have some information to address those comments. We've prepared, had spoken with Fish and Wildlife, and we prepared a written response for them, which will be mailed tomorrow. And we have a more detailed written response for Golden State Water Company that will be prepared the week of, we should be finished with the week of April 8th. So about 2 months before our hearing. And some of the concerns will be addressed here in the, so we're gonna talk a little bit about production safe yield again, hydrologic base period, the model that we've incorporated into ALTO, the subarea water levels, and then the FPA recommendations. We look at this graphic a lot. It's the inflow to the basin at the forks, the sum of Deep Creek and West Fork, and the hydrologic base period from the judgment 1931 to 1990. You see the average of 65,538 acre feet. And the new base period that we propose to use, that average is 61,635, and it's a shorter, more recent period. It's also a little bit drier. We talked about the period from 1946 to 1965, which is sort of largely considered a historic drought period. And what we experienced between 2012 and 2022 was 11 years significantly drier than that 20-year period. So the current 2001-2020 incorporates those years and meets the definition that from Bulletin 84 that the base period was predicated on in the original judgment.
Okay.
And I wanted to point out flow at the forks and Lake Arrowhead precipitation. We don't have the kind of precipitation coverage that we would like, although that's changing. Water Resources, Mojave Water Agency, Water Resources Department is working to improve the distribution of rain gauges. But what we show on here is the flow at the forks and precipitation for a couple of different periods. One is 2012-2023, and the other is 1946 to 1965, and this purpose is to show the relationship between those two periods.
Okay.
We incorporated the Upper Mojave Basin groundwater model into our analysis of Alto above the Lower Narrows. It's a program that we're going to use going forward as the model's extended to include Centro and Baja. There have been earlier versions of model for the Mojave Basin, 1971 Hart, USGS, Stamos, 2001, and then Mr. Koulibaly, 2023. And that was actually developed several years ago and then modified for use for this purpose. Okay. Area of investigation for the model domain, and the significant inputs and outputs from the model. This is the area that is under investigation.
Okay.
So the output from the model produces a production safe yield value of 62,005 acre feet. Last year, we settled on 59,409 acre feet, Water Master adopted, what we reported to the court, is we were finishing an evaluation of Alto, and that we'd probably end up in this somewhere in this range, a few percent higher, or about where we were last year. So the comparison between the way we do the evaluation prior to using the model and using the model, we get a value of 62,005 acre feet from the model and 62,233 acre feet from our arithmetic calculation from table 5.1. And numbers are very close, less than 1%. The table 5.1 accounting incorporating some of the information from the model and the new base period, we break out the transition zone for the purpose, since transition zone is part of Alto. We measure at the Lower Narrows. We need to know the flow at Hellendale Fault, and we break that out in the transition zone in order to calculate the surface water outflow, which is 36,725 acre feet. And this compares fairly well with all of the estimates that have been done in the past.
Okay.
One thing that I think is worth pointing out, in particularly because this is just data, we simply added up the flows at Lower Narrows published by USGS, and then we added in the flow from VVWRA. And prior to 1990, between 1951 and 1990, 1951 being normally Everybody considers that to be when overdraft began in the upper basin, and the inflow to the transition zone, the flow at Lower Narrows plus the contribution from VVWRA was about 49,000 acre feet, and from 1991 to 2023, about 49,000 acre feet. So contribution from VVWRA supported the flow through the narrows and the water balance in the transition zone. The Stamless model that I mentioned before has the there's a way to extract surface water flow. It's modeled surface water flow. It's not measured. And so we extracted that data at various places along the river, Vista Road, which is near Hellendale, the Hellendale Fault. It's actually a little bit south. Indian Trails, which is near Wild Crossing, Hinckley Road, which is near Hodge, and Barstow. And we pulled these out to see, okay, so what did, according to the model anyway, what did it look like between 1951 and 1990? And then compared that to the Lower Narrows plus VVWRA. And you can see how the how water is routed along the river channel during this period of time. Okay. And then the Stamless model only goes through 1999, so we then extended 1951 to 1999. We can see, you know, kind of a something worth pointing out is the difference between the Lower Narrows and Hellendale, which is about 17,000 acre feet, which is within the ballpark of what we see now in terms of losses between Lower Narrows and Hellendale Fault on a long-term average basis, which is about equal to the phreatophytes and the consumptive use of pumping. And I also want to point out it from roughly from Hellendale Fault to Barstow is about 20 river miles. So, and this historically has been a dry channel. The USGS in one of its publications indicated that this has always been a losing reach of stream, unlike other parts of the river that both gain and lose along its reach. And this is where we see where most of the losses occur. Pumping for the last 30 years from the Watermaster data, if we total everything, Harper, Hodge to Barstow, Hellendale to Hodge, Barstow to Waterman, which is pretty much the, except for Harper, the reach of the river in Centro. This is the distribution over time. You can see how that pumping has declined. And importantly, the total extractions in that 30 years between Hodge and Barstow, which is about half of that distance that we talked about, has been a little over 500,000 acre feet been extracted in that part of the river. Okay. We put together the from the archives in Mojave Water Agency, the aerial photo of the from Hellendale to Linwood, just to show what was happening there in the past. And between 1951 and 1973, the total extractions were a little over 200,000 acre feet, about 9,300 acre feet a year. So there's been a lot of pumping in this area, and at one time it was a lot of ag. One of the issues that was raised by Golden State Water Company, and they have raised this many times, and we've had three or four meetings about this issue, is that their variability in their water levels and the issues that they have possibly with water quality, but water level declining, and why and how that's happening. And one of the things that in all the discussions we've had in the materials and you know, that we've sent them, you know, we sort of focus on the pumping that's concentrated in a very small area. With this focus area, you can see all the circles between the two red lines, and those are representations of fault zones. But about 85% of all the pumping in Central occurs in that small area. Okay. And then 2023, we kind of see we've got a combination of ag interests, one of the appealing parties still pumping 3/4 of a pivot, and then some of the remediation pumping by PG&E. Okay. The wells that show a lot of variabilities, a couple of them, and this is prior to the storms of last year, the storms of this year, and the 100,000 acre feet that MWA purchased and discharged into the river in various places. And you can see that when it's dry, we go through dry periods, these water levels decline, and then they recover when it's wet. And so we've got concentrated pumping, we've got a lot, 20 miles of dry river, we have a high degree of variability in supply and also in the way the water levels respond. And then as of last year, same area, and you can see the response is really fairly quick from recharge. Okay. Go back one slide. So the as I said, Golden State raised some issues in a letter, concerns that our assumptions about the transition zone functioning as it was envisioned in the judgment, that it may, the flow at Hellendale Fault may not be what we think it is. All the information we have, primarily the water levels over time, don't show very much change. There's a little bit of variability, not much. I think our assumption of change in storage equals zero is valid. We can account for the inflow and account for the outflow without and see how the water levels change. The water levels don't change. If nothing else is changing in the river, we don't really have change in storage in that reach. So water reaching the transition zone is passing Hellendale Fault as it was envisioned what happened in the judgment. And it's also important to note that the only quantified obligation in the judgment is for the makeup flow, which is 21,000 acre feet of surface flow and 2,000 acre feet of subsurface flow, and that obligation is to the transition zone. We are, like I said, preparing a response, and we'll get that out in a week or so, try to address specifically the issues that Golden State has raised. Okay. Este. We also received correspondence from Mitsubishi, Eric Hoffman. And Mr. Hoffman points out in his letter that maybe we should use a higher value for the production safe yield than what I have recommended. And the recommendation I made, 5,108 acre feet, based on 5 years of water production compared to our recorded experience of water levels in all of Este, not changing very much. Some of them look like they're falling a small amount, others rising, others are stable. And the reason for, and also laid out that, you know, over 20 years, there was 6,582 acre feet pumped. And the reason I thought we ought to consider the lower value for production safe yield is we're going to lose supply from Barra that we just don't know how much or when. And it's a conservative, and we're going to, because of how much free production allowance is, we're going to have to have a recommendation to reduce free production allowance anyway. Question is, do we take that approach now or look at a longer period, which would have, we simply make the same argument. We can say, well, we pumped 6,582 acre feet over 20 years. We saw the same response. Maybe that's a fair interpretation of what we know, and that's where we ought to be with production safe yield for the purpose of recommending free production allowance. I think that's a good position, and so I think my recommendation board would be that we adopt 6,582 acre feet as the production safe yield. It's going to be reevaluated in over the next several years, like all of the sub areas will be, and it's going to result in a reduction in free production allowance in any event. So I think it's a and I think it makes sense to make change to that recommendation. Oh, Este, I had hoped we would have a little bit of updated information where we think there's more inflow above in Sheep Creek Wash, above the boundary of the OSDA boundary, so be north of the OSDA boundary. And some of that's based on interpretations of well logs, the depth of the alluvium, the geometry of the channel, but we don't have water level data to test that. And we are requesting that from Sheep Creek Water Company. When we get that, we can do a calculation. I think it's a certainty that that deficit will go down. Now, whether it goes down by 1 acre foot or 1,566 acre feet, we won't know till we get that data. But I think it's going to help validate our interpretation of the water levels and the change in storage for the recommendation we're making. So for OSDA, 3,634 acre feet, particularly given that we have the model that tells us we have a deficit and we have visual interpretation of many hydrographs that say that water levels variable but stable over time. So for Baja, the Department of Fish and Wildlife provided us comments on Baja, and I'll address those in a minute. The production has changed significantly over time and also over the last several years. One time, 66,000 acre feet was the total pumping of Baja. Now it's on the order of, I think it's just under 13,000. We're making our determination of production safe yield based on water levels and not on the calculation that we show on the illustration of table 5.1. And so the production safe yield is gonna be set at, for Baja, based on the water levels, I think it's 12,789 acre feet, okay. Fish and Wildlife has brought up a couple of issues. One is that the phreatophytes in Baja, we have used the value of 2,000 acre feet as the water use by the riparian habitat since 1996 on the basis of a report that was joint report prepared by Fish and Game and USGS. Lines and Billhorn, as we, Greg Lines and Tom Billhorn were the authors. We don't actually know how much water the phreatophytes actually use. In 2005 or six, I think some work was done that confirmed the work that Lines and Billhorn did. And then very recently, using similar remote sensing techniques, we estimated that that number was about 1,000 acre feet. Fish and Game's concern is that we're reducing the amount of water for phreatophytes. Actually, what we're trying to do is know with some certainty how much water the phreatophytes are actually using, not reducing their use. And we'll continue to have that conversation with the department. And that number itself isn't part of the recommendation. The recommendation is based on what we see in water levels. So, and these are the two tables. One is for 1931, 1990 long-term average. And doing the arithmetic, we get a value for one value for Baja, 14,500 acre feet. And then let's go to the next slide. And then using the shorter base period, we get a value of 10,866 acre feet with an 1,883 acre foot deficit. Somewhere between these two is probably the right number. 12,749 is what I'm proposing based on what I'm seeing in the water levels recently in Baja. And so where are we? Proposed for Alto, 53.3%. That's increased from 50.4 in Baja, and we're not going to change it. In Centro, the arithmetic indicates that the pre-production on should be 60% of production safe yield, I mean of base annual production. In Este, we have a indicated ramp down to 50%, yet we will change the recommendation for the indicated PSY to be the higher number, 6,582 or 20, whatever that number actually is, which I forget at the moment, but we'll put that one in. And then for Este, it'll be 50% for the pre-production loans. And next steps. Hearing tonight, report to the court May 1st, and a court hearing on June 14th, which I think has already been set.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. A lot of info, some changes. So with having reviewed these for two meetings now, and I guess we'll ask the board if they have any comments or questions for Mr. Wagner. Dr. Page?
Bob, could you go back to the first exhibit 5-1?
The one that is Alto and transition zone?
Yeah. It was at the beginning of the presentation. No, it was a different one. It said 5.1 in the corner. Go to that next one.
That one?
Go to the next one. Okay, go to the last one then. So...
this one here? This is the 5-1 that would be Alto, TZ, and Centro. There are two towards the end of the slide that have Baja.
Yeah, go forward again. Just one slide. I did have a question on this graph. The blue lines are for Lower Narrows and DVWRA combined on this.
Yes.
And then for makeup purchases, that's physical water that has been purchased?
Yes. I think this is what was, no, this is not physical water. It's water that was a combination of purchase plus unpumped free production allowance in Central, which is a 2-to-1. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Go back to the next slide. Maybe I can figure out my question. Okay. One more slide back. How about one more back? No. Nope. Okay, go forward. Go forward one slide. Go forward one slide. We don't have numbers on these, so yeah, it's fine. I'll just forego it. But there was one slide that showed. Oh, there they are on the side. Okay. Hard to see. There was one slide that had a 5.1 in the upper right-hand corner that actually showed Centro, more water passing through Centro than Alto, and my question was, was that a contribution from some of the runoff in ephemeral streams or something? That caught my eye, but if we can't find it, that's fine.
I don't think it's in this presentation, but I know what you're talking about. And it's a combination of things, but yes, it would have been the contribution from ephemeral streams, but also groundwater discharge from the groundwater system through this as rejected stream flow into the transition zone. And so it's a combination of inflow from the washes, but also groundwater discharge.
And then just a puzzling question to me on changing the base years. I mean, more data is always better. More input, a bigger data horizon. It just seems counterintuitive to me that we're making the base years smaller rather than our history of record. Can you help me understand why that's a good idea in this situation?
It's a an excellent question. There's not an easy answer, but I'll try to make a short one. The base period has some assumptions in it. One is that the rainfall runoff water supply that you know occurs no matter whatever it is we do, the assumption is that's going to repeat. And indications that we have is that conditions in the watershed are changing, and they're changing in such a way that it's getting warmer, it's producing less runoff per unit rainfall, and we have to take into account that what happened in the past may not happen exactly the same in the future. The water supply, the imported water supply, has the same problem. In the Northern California watersheds, Feather River watershed, where water comes from, the same thing is happening. And so we have a condition on in any given year, we don't know how much water, we never know how much water we're going to get because we don't know how it's going to rain and we don't know how, where we're going to be able to import it. So the court asked us to consider a shorter planning period. And so we selected one that's consistent with the way the original base period was selected, but is also captures the very dry period we just had, as well as all the land use changes. So to me, it seems like a better for planning. And when we look forward on production safe fuel, we're not looking backward. We're looking what's going to happen in the future. And past water supply with today's land use, and assuming that's constant. So that's the reason that period is selected. And, you know, to your point, well, we have more data in the past. That's true. And if that repeats itself, we'll end up with more water.
All I had.
Director Raleigh?
No.
Director Ramirez?
It's interesting about changing the base year, yes or no, maybe so. You are correct. What happens in the future is more important. I think what's germane, though, in my opinion, is that in order to establish equality at some point in time when they implemented the adjudication, you had to pick some base, and we've done that. And I think that the powers that be, if we felt that the dramatic change in either use or basin conditions or climatic conditions warranted a look-see at that, it might be worth moving forward in addition to keeping track of what we already keep track of. So at some point in time, maybe that would be a wise thing to change the base period. But you're not going to really go back and say, oh, okay, well, we should give this guy more base production allowance on that guy. And that basically was one of the big purposes of picking that.
My question, Bob, is we're changing the numbers this year, somewhat significant in the amount that we've got We went from 20,000 to 30,000 in Centro. I guess my question is, do we feel secure in our PSY versus the actual pumpage that we keep track of, given the fact that we don't keep track of the minimals, we know people steal water out of our basin from time to time, and we really don't know what the future's gonna bring, but we are pretty secure in what we're presenting now for PSY based on what we see in actual extractions, that we're not making mistakes with regards to that. And similarly, with regards to the overall basin health and free production allowance, we would not go willy-nilly with the free production allowance if we ever thought that the basin health was going to be in jeopardy for any period of time. And that's been verified by other people than MWA. We haven't had severe subsidence issues. We haven't had severe water loss issues due to seismic events. We think we have a pretty good handle on how the transition zone works, although we can probably refine that over time. But based on what you've produced this year, there were not a lot of drastic changes, other than we felt that the adjudication is working and it's getting better. We are making the basin better on the decisions that the Water Master has made in the last decade and continues to make at this particular juncture, adopting these the new numbers. That is true, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the, you know, when we started and the work that has been done since then by recharging the river, things are going to get better where we recharge in downstream. And we see that in the modeling that we just did. USGS, the modeling that was done for future, to what will the basin look like if we do certain things. There was a lot of modeling done. It all came up with roughly the same, you know, ballpark result. And so the key is that when we have a deficit, we've bled out most of the water that can be transferred. There will still be transfers for sure. But the fact that we are going to raise money through Water Master for MWA to import water and manage that resource is going to be a benefit everywhere along the river. And the more often we can do that, the better it's going to get faster. Yeah.
I guess at this time we open up the hearing for public comment. I think you said you had one on number 7?
Yes, we now have 2 speakers.
Oh, sorry, Marina. Marina, did you have any comments for Bob or the Water Master?
Well,
I apologize.
I had to turn the camera off because my connection's kind of poor. But I didn't have any additional comments, and the comments that were made or questions asked, I think, were very relevant. So I appreciate that, but nothing more right now.
Okay, thanks, Marina. Since you're not here, if I don't remember your remote, chime in. Okay, so now we'll have the public comments. You said you have 2 speakers that want to speak. Are they here today?
Yes, our first speaker is Derek Hoffman.
Members and staff, and I'm Derek Hoffman of the Fenimore Law Firm, representing Mitsubishi, Robertson's Ready Mix, and the Cal Portland Company. Thank you to the general manager for the water bottle and staff, which I clearly needed. Thank you, appreciate that. I came prepared today to talk about my letter that was in the agenda packet, particularly on the production safe yield figure for the Estee sub-area. And in light of Mr. Wagner's updated recommendation that he has given to you today, rather than go over all the details in my letter, I will instead simply say thank you to Mr. Wagner for reading the letter, for considering it thoughtfully, and for updating the recommendation to the higher figure that he has now proposed that you adopt. And so I would support that. The 6,582 acre foot figure for PSY for Estee is, in my view, much more consistent with the longer term look that the judgment requires in defining PSY And it is based on 20 plus years of water level data, as noted in the PSY report that Mr. Wagner prepared. So with that, I'll just say thank you again for considering our letter. And if the board has questions, I'd be willing to answer them, responsive to my letter. But otherwise, I'll take a seat and look forward to seeing you adopt the proposal as.
Our next speaker is Aaron Johnson, and then we will have one online speaker as well.
Good afternoon, Watermaster Board members, MWA staff, and Bob. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you again. As you probably recall from the February meeting, my name is Aaron Johnson, Senior Environmental Scientist with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Yep. I'm an environmental scientist with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'll be briefly summarizing our comment letter dated March 19th, which was included in your materials. At CDFW, my primary area of responsibility is management of department properties, which includes ensuring adequate groundwater to support key habitats on lands, which include the Mojave Narrows Regional Park in Alto and the Camp Katy Wildlife Area in Baja. Though I've only been in this role for a couple of years, CDFW has been active in the Mojave Basin groundwater management for many years, since before the judgment was completed and implementation of the physical solution began. Since the February board meeting, our hydrogeologist and I met with Mr. Wagner, Water Master, and MWA staff to better understand the basis of the new 2024 PSY and CU report result and the resulting FPA recommendations in the various sub-areas. We appreciate the information that's been provided to date and anticipate further information, yet significant questions and concerns remain. In summary, number one, CDFW respectfully encourages the Water Master to proceed with the importation of water into the Alto subarea as modeled while holding FPA at current levels until monitoring data from the ground and surface water monitoring network indicate that such changes are warranted. Number two, CDFW agrees that based on the proposed PSY in the Baja subarea, reducing FPA is not indicated for the coming water year. However, we remain concerned about the reduced inflow to Baja, as well as the associated cumulative loss in storage. Finally, number three, CDFW believes that reducing the allocation of water to riparian vegetation, aka phreatophytes, in the contemporary Baja subarea PSY calculation sets a poor precedent when the intent of Exhibit H was to consider the water needs of public trust resources. CDFW appreciates the opportunity to comment, and we look forward to further engagement with the Water Master. Thank you.
Yes, we have Michael Thornton online, and then we will have one other in-person speaker.
Good afternoon. Hopefully everybody can hear me from online. I represent the City of Hesperia this afternoon. The city will be submitting a letter. We did not get it over before the meeting, but it will be submitted to Water Master as early as tomorrow. We are requesting that the board consider rescinding last year's ramp down and the supporting information and the basis for our recommendation will be included in our letter. Thank you.
Yes, we have Chuck Bell.
That card submitted late? Okay. I guess it's okay, Chuck.
I think it's just standing.
I didn't hear it. Well, thank you, sir. Lee did a lot of work back in the old Tamaris days. Always appreciate his help. I wasn't going to say anything, but I thought it might be interesting. You guys checked my wells last week, I think. And they're up 2 feet. I've been, ever since the 90s, been around 180, 182. They were about 178 and 179. Haven't been there in a long time. So that just might be some indication that what Bob is projecting and maybe what Mitsubishi is asking for are valid. Thank you.
No other speakers at this time.
Okay. I guess we call for... we have to close it before we vote on it. At this time, we will close the public hearing for item number 7. And I think the chair will entertain a motion for adoption. About what we're doing? Yeah.
Can I use a vote cast because Director Weiss is...
Yeah, we're going to use it verbal. Yeah. Has to be verbal.
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
I'll second the motion.
First.
I'll second it.
Okay. Raleigh already beat you, Marina. Okay, so let's
10-4.
Have a roll call.
Director Cox?
Aye.
Director Hoffman?
Aye.
Director Limbaugh?
Aye.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Aye.
Director Raleigh?
Aye.
And Director West?
Aye.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify that this motion will include the updated PSY for the Este subarea.
On the presentation, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So that was a change from what was in the tables, but...
Yeah, and I'm making the motion. I'm fine with that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, the next public hearing we have, which we'll call to order, is to receive comments and adopt the Water Master budget for fiscal year 24-25 and the assessment rates for water year 24-25. So at this time, we will open that public hearing. And I think, Mr. Roosh, you're given that one, right?
We actually have a really short presentation before we open the public hearing, if you'll indulge me for a minute.
Sure.
And I will just go ahead and say we have a really short presentation for the annual report, too. So yeah, previously we started the discussion on the 24-25 budget and assessment rates in January 24, and then we had the request to circulate the draft Water Master budget at the February 28th, 24 meeting. On the February 29th, that draft budget and assessment rates was mailed out to all the parties, indicating that we would have this public hearing today to take comments on it. This is the budget that we sent everybody, and the assessment rates. The total estimated budget will be $600,753. The administrative rate is being recommended at $5.65 per acre foot. The biological assessment at $1.21 per acre foot. That is escalated based on the CPI for Los Angeles. So that is changes based on what is reported there. For the makeup and replacement assessments, for the 2022-23 water year, which is the water year that just ended, we propose adopting the same rates that the Mojave Water Agency adopted in January, $565 per acre foot. And then a not to exceed for the current water year of 23-24 of $624 per acre foot. And for 24-25, we're projecting that $632 per acre foot. So the recommendation, staff recommends that the Water Master conduct a public hearing to receive comments and adopt the budget and assessment rates to be effective during the fiscal year and water year 24-25.
Okay, thank you. I will reopen that public hearing. And we don't have any comments for this one, do we?
Not at this time, no.
Okay, at this time, I'll call for any questions from the board. Director Cox?
Jeff, you mentioned that the biofund increase were based upon the LA area CPI.
The construction cost index, I apologize, CCI. Wow. It's different than I get confused between the two. I should spell out what the acronym is because it's a construction cost index.
And what was that increase this year?
It was 10 cents. So just about a 90% increase. There's another dime from $1.11.
Right.
So it was actually quite, I was surprised at how high it was.
So
I can get you the actual details, you know, what it was and what it is. We have a calculation. I can get that to you so you can see the details.
Can you remind me why it was based on that economic indice rather than something like the consumer price index?
The only thing I really don't know why it was the construction cost index. Mr. Wagner probably remembers.
At one time I knew. It's been a lot of years. I think the reason that the construction cost index was chosen for projects that are based largely on works of whatever, whether it's construction or construction-related services, which would include things like recharge basins, pipelines, and physical things. The construction cost index is common to be used, and I think that was the reason why that was chosen. I don't remember, I just don't remember, it's been too long. There was not a lot of debate. It was, what should we use? How about construction cost index? And it's common, and everyone just said, yeah, that sounds great.
Would you at this point in time recommend a different indice? Or
I could kind of defer a little bit to counsel. I don't know that we could do that without revisiting the judgment.
So this is hardwired into the judgment.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Marina? Okay. Seeing none, I guess we'll close that portion of the public hearing on item number 8. And anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make the motion.
A motion is made and seconded for adopting the Water Master budget and assessment rates for 25-24. Roll call vote.
Director Cox?
Aye.
Director Hoffman?
Aye.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Raleigh?
Aye.
And Director West?
Mommy?
Yes.
Hit a kick at it, right? Speak, Bob.
Okay, it passes. All right. Our third public hearing. So you want to speak before we call the public hearing to order there?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, third time's a charm, I guess.
Third time's a charm. So the Water Master Annual Report was also distributed. Well, it's posted on our website, and notice was provided to all parties on February 29th, 2024. And we did receive some comments, some very minor changes. There was some spelling and grammar things that were noticed. I did not feel that those were worthy to put together a whole addendum of every single word that was changed. But there were just some minor grammatical changes that were made. I do want to mention that we will need to update the annual report with the changes in the free production allowance recommendation so that lines up with the recommendation that was made tonight. So there will be some minor changes that we will be making before before we upload this to the website. So staff recommends that Watermaster conduct a public hearing to receive comments and recommendations for changes to the annual report, accept the annual report as final as notated, and authorize staff to file the annual report with the court no later than May 1st, 2024.
Okay, thank you. We will now open up the public hearing.
comments and accept the final draft Water Master Annual Report for water year 22-23. Does the board have any comments on this item? Anybody? Marina?
No, sir. No comments.
Do I have any public speaking on this?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. Good. Last one, simple, right? Got it down. Everybody left? No, okay. So we'll close the public hearing. And Chair will entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
I have a motion to second to accept the final draft Water Master Annual Report for water year 22-23. Roll call vote, please.
Director Cox?
Aye.
Director Hoffman?
Aye.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Raleigh?
Aye.
Director West?
Yes.
Okay, public hearings are done. We're now moving on to reports. Executive Officer report. Mr. Rouge?
I pass Adnan straight over to me. The only executive officer report we have is the status of the Mojave Water Agency groundwater storage accounts by subarea. In the Alto subarea, we have 183,285 acre feet. In Baja, 25,072 acre feet. In Centro, 35,469 acre feet. And in Este, 1,334 acre feet. We also have 10,385 acre feet of the inventory claim program in the Alto subarea. Questions? Nope.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you for the report. Engineer's report. Mr. Wagner.
Very briefly, looks like our last measurement at Lower Narrows was about 66 CFS. So when we've actually had a significant amount of flow so far this year, I think 207 was the off the chart. I think we'll try to add that up, just what kind of volume we've seen thus far for next time, just informational. The only other thing I want to point out is our projected BVWRA discharge at almost at 14,835 acre feet is within, it's less than 1% of what we projected going forward for BVWRA. So I don't know if that's good or lucky or what, but it just, you know, it is what it is. And that number, of course, changes every month as we get more data. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Wagner? All right. Legal reports, Mr. McElhaney? Director's reports? Any directors have a report? Marina, anything to report?
Nothing relevant.
Okay. And I assume we don't have a closed session today, or do we? No, okay. Other business? Discussion items for next agenda? Anybody with the item they want to bring up? Okay, again, thank you all for coming tonight and attending the meeting. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Did I was going to have three public hearings.
Well, what?